Good morning. About there, just about that distance, before I get excited and do all the cartwheels and put the mic to my mouth, just about there. Yeah, I like that song that we just sang. Singing hallelujah. Singing hallelujah. Singing hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our reading this morning is from the book of Matthew, chapter 14. Verse 22 to 33. See, I read from the King James Version. I should have found myself NIV. Matthew chapter 14. That's all right. I've got a King James with me, but I wanted to read something that maybe a bit roll easier from the tongue. Matthew chapter 14 from verse 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Then they crossed over and they landed in Gennesaret. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you that your word speaks to our lives, speaks to our hearts. Lord, we ask you, as we look into your word, we ask you to help us to get those lessons that you intend for us to get from your word. Lord, we ask you to open our eyes, open our hearts, that we will learn that which you want us to learn, that we will extract that which can be properly extracted from your word, and we will learn that which you intend for us to learn. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Last week we had a bit closer, somewhere there. There. Last week we had the story about Philip. And one of the passages that came through there was Jesus feeding the 5,000. And once Jesus has fed the 5,000, here in Matthew chapter 14, he then sends his disciples to say, he puts them in the ship, in the boat, and says to them, "Go over ahead, go to the other side." He remains behind, dismissing the crowds. After dismissing the crowds, he goes up to the mountain to pray. When they have traveled a considerable distance, which is estimated to be 5 to 6 kilometers, some say, considerable distance, and some versions will say when they were in the midst of the sea, when they were in the middle of the sea, so they were nowhere close to land. They were right in the sea. They were tossed by waves, and the wind was blowing, and the waves was pushing them to and fro. And when Mark reports it, Mark says they were struggling, they were toiling, they were toiling with rowing. So there was a lot of work that they were doing there. Let's keep in mind that Jesus has said, let's go over. Keep going. Go well ahead. We will meet, but we are going over on the other side. They're toiling and they're wrestling, they're fighting with the wind, and there were fishermen among them, so some would have known how to raise the sails and how to row, which way to go and how to... But the Bible says the wind was contrary, was opposing them. There's a lesson there for us to learn. Jesus says, let's go over. But the wind is still going to be contrary. It's going to be opposing. Being in the will of God, doing what God wants us to do, does not necessarily mean that we won't face difficult times. Doesn't necessarily mean that we won't face opposition. Doesn't necessarily mean that there will be no winds that are contrary to us. Even though Christ says, let's go over, puts them in the boat with the intention to get them over, there is still opposition. There is still difficult times. Being in the faith, we have learned, I believe you've learned as well, that being in the faith does not mean that we are absolved from the difficulties that life throws at us. It doesn't, we are not excused from the difficulties. But many are the trials of the righteous, and the Lord will save us from them all. The Lord will give us the ability. The Lord will give us the strength. The old preacher used to say, if God doesn't take you over it, he will take you round it. If he doesn't take you round it, he will take you through it. But in one way or another, the Lord will see us through. Despite being in the will and obeying the instructions, there was still a challenge there. And then round about the fourth watch, it says on the fourth watch, between the hours of 3 and 6 a.m., early in the morning. And they've been, remember when Jesus fed the 5,000, the disciples said, there was nothing to, Jesus actually said, it was going to be evening. So it was somehow daytime and it was getting darker. And once they have been fed and they've traveled a distance, which means they've been traveling for quite some time. They've been working on this traveling for quite some time. They travel from the evening sort of time right way into early hours of the morning. They see Jesus. They see a figure approaching them. They see a figure coming along. The wind is blowing and they are wrestling and they are fighting. And they see a figure coming along. Jesus had stayed back, dismissing the crowds. Afterwards, he goes up the mountain and prays. But it looks like he manages to catch up with them when they are still on the sea. He catches up with them. So the wind that is contrary, the waves, they seem not to be slowing him down. The disciples are slowed down. We can be slowed down. But we've got this hope, we've got this trust that our God is not afflicted by the tribulations that afflict us. God is more able than we are. Hence we rely on him. It's like Christ came in faster than they were because he caught up with them. And when they see this figure coming, they say, it's a ghost. They get terrified. They get frightened. Isn't it strange that they were not frightened by the waves and the wind and everything else, but they get frightened when they see Christ? And these guys, these disciples, they knew him. They had walked with him for so long. Or maybe it was early in the morning, they were not seeing too much, or they had been working too hard. But their first instinct is, that has to be a ghost. That is a ghost. And they get frightened. The natural response, the human response sometimes. Someone says, God never wins sometimes. If he creates the world, we say, well, it's a big bang. If he heals a leper, they say, well, was he even leprous in the first place? If God does things to us, sometimes we don't see God. We try to explain things away. But we are called to faith, to see God and believe when God does things in our lives, to acknowledge him and thank him for what he does. When they see him coming, they doubt that it's him, but they are used to him. They've been going into the synagogues and temples with him, and they've been singing and praying and singing nice hymns. But when God does something, they begin to doubt and say, that may not necessarily be him. I'm reminded of November 2015. I had just started living with my little man. He was about 4 years old or so. When he was 3 years old, I couldn't go to work, Mr. Baza. I couldn't go to work because he was little and childcare and the like. And I started working part-time, and I kind of eased myself into work. When he started school, it was difficult to get a job that fits in with school hours. How do you get a job that sort of fits in with school hours? I'm a nurse. So we sort of do shifts every now and then, and we've got this WhatsApp group that we have within the hospital, that if a shift comes up in one ward or one area of the hospital, someone puts it in there and you sort of pick it up. I don't know whether I was, it was just after some time in November, and I don't know whether I was praying or I was crying or I was sleeping, but I just dropped him off at school, and I went upstairs, and I was there. I don't know whether I was sleeping or crying or praying. I was doing a bit of both. I didn't know what am I going to do? What will I do for work? The bills will not stop coming, and life keeps going. It was a Friday. Ping, ping, something came on the WhatsApp. I sort of turned over, picked up and looked at it. It said, anyone with experience in community work, there is a shift available on Monday. While I was still sleeping there, I ran straight away. I rang the manager, and one thing led to another. On Monday, I was invited to come in. They said, well, we don't want just a person to work for one shift because we want to send the person to community. So we are looking at somebody who will stay with us for about 3 months. And I said, well, I've got a child and I've got to work these hours. They said, oh, that's fine. Let's try and see how it works. And to cut the long story short, that's the job I'm still working in now. And now they've taken me on full time and they have promoted. So I could say the WhatsApp group worked. Or I could say, oh, well, my experience, as an experienced nurse, they saw my CV and they jumped. It has to be God. It's not a ghost. It's God. To see Christ in our lives when he is at work. And then Jesus says, fear not. That's the first time the word fear is mentioned in that passage. Fear, no, the second time. First time is when they were afraid. The second time is Jesus says, fear not. They had to fear not. In fact, they had no right to be afraid. Because remember, Jesus has said, let's go over to the other side. When he says it, it will happen. When Jesus says it, it will occur. But they begin to worry. They begin to be in doubt. When they think it's a ghost, they are now afraid. Jesus says, fear not. Maybe there's a lesson for us there. When we face trials and when we are tossed to and fro, to be at rest, to lean on him. We know that he is not limited by that which limits us. He is not oppressed by that which suppresses and oppresses us. He's not persecuted by it. He will see us through. Fear not. Be of good cheer. Have faith. Be strong. And Peter said, Lord, if it is you, bid me come. Scripture is not particularly clear as to the reason why he wanted to go. It's not explicit there. Was he wanting to escape from this boat, from this ship that was about to sink, or did he want to prove it's Christ? And when he says, if it is you, let me come, I get surprised, because later on he begins sinking, which means he probably couldn't swim. So he really was saying, Lord, if it is you, let me come, and I'm going to totally rely on you. I'm going to totally depend on the fact that it is you. Remember, they are 5-6 kilometers in the sea. They are not just on the edge. They are not just on the beach that you will say, oh, well, maybe I'll go west deep. They are right in the sea. When Jesus says, come, Peter comes. There is the obedience. When Jesus says, come, Peter walks and he begins to come. He comes to Jesus, and the Bible says, when he was coming towards Jesus, he was walking on the water. When he looked aside, saw the waves and saw the wind, he became afraid. When he is looking to Jesus, he is walking on water. But when he's looking on the sides, you see, when we depend on the circumstances, when we rely on what's happening around us and not on Christ, when we do not lean on Christ, but when we lean on our own understanding, we will be afraid. Reminded of Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, now therefore, that we are surrounded by such a great multitude of witnesses, let us lay aside the sin and the weight that so easily beset us, and run with perseverance the race that is set before us. When he says, therefore, he's concluding, the author is concluding from what's been argued before. What has been argued before? Hebrews chapter 11, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Obeying God is a step of faith. Obeying the word, the will of God, is a step of faith. Is seeing faith and walking because Christ said it. Now therefore, given these exploits of the patriarchs of faith, which have been described in Hebrews chapter 11, in chapter 12, scripture says, therefore, that we are surrounded by such a great multitude of witnesses, let us run. Let us lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily beset us, and run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Every time Peter is looking at Jesus, he's looking towards Jesus, he's walking on water. But when he looks on the side, he starts to sink. Looking unto Jesus, Hebrews 12 verse 2, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despised its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's making intercession for us. You see, we can trust him because he's worth trusting. We can rely on him because he's worth relying on. And when he sees the waves and the wind, he begins to sink. And he cries out, Lord, save me. I think he had forgotten that he questioned in the first place, that if it is you, now he knows it's him. Lord, save me. Jesus picks him up and says, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? Immediately they get into the boat. And it says, those who were in the boat worshipped him. that him there is Christ. And they said, truly you are the Son of God. They did not worship Peter. They worshipped Christ. See, nowadays we've got, it's so easy for people who do all these strange things and then they get huge followings and so on. There's lots of Peters who are being worshipped for walking on water, but we only worship Jesus. They did not worship Peter. Someone said, we know of the Christ who was riding on the donkey getting into Jerusalem, but we've never been told the name of the donkey. But we've got so many donkeys who are proclaiming their names all over. We just need the Lord Jesus and not the donkey. They worshipped Jesus and did not worship Peter. Just keep that in mind. And the moment he came into the boat, the wind stopped and he calmed it down. And they did, in fact, get to the other side of the sea. And yes, they did, in fact, begin to witness, as was mentioned earlier. They began to share. They began to invite people to Jesus. When Jesus comes into the boat, the wind stopped. There is a certain calm that comes on the inside when Christ comes into us. There is a certain peace that surpasses understanding. There is a certain calmness that comes into us. Yes, we are living in the same wind, in the same waves. We are driving in the same street as others. But there is a certain peace that is beyond understanding, that cannot be explained by merely being at the right place at the right time or by the law of probabilities. There is a certain peace on the inside that Christ brings when he gets into the boat. Thank you. Thank you.